This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode 132. Now the balls have guns.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And we have a very special guest with us today.
Who is it?
Derek H. from Dead Pixel Live.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. Yay.
Welcome to our show.
Hello,
finally.
Ladies.
It's finally happened. We finally have Derek H. on the show.
Yeah, will you be my Valentine, since Valentine's Day is coming up?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing a ninja's married, so...
Guessing? Yeah.
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 I already have a Valentine. But,
yeah.
So that would mean it would be directed at you, sis.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say, so I didn't know. There's two of us here. He can still ask you. You would just say no.
I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I believe only one of you has said that she wanted to sit on my face, and that will be the one that
That sentence was taken out of context.
No, it wasn't, because many times.
Anyway,
yeah.
In the spirit of Valentine's Day.
You got that in faster than I thought you would, Derek. I really thought it was going to be past the minute mark, so...
Oh, no. He's been waiting for this.
I've got some money that I have to pay somebody now. But why don't you tell the folks about your show and a little bit about what you do?
My name is Derek H. I host a little show called Dead Pixel Live on the All Games Radio Network. AllGames.com comes on 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday at 6:30 p.m. EST. Lasts around 2 hours. We talk about video games, movies, basically that's it, video games, movies, TV shows. It's a live show. It's me, Loserly, the lovely Loserly.
Yep, love her.
Alpha Box is also there. We take live callers. We have a happening chat room, as the kids say these days.
Is that what the kids call it?
Yeah.
A hip place?
Yeah.
A congregational area?
Mm-hmm. And I would like, if you, I know that your audience is like all about the anime stuff. We talk
Not
about
everybody, but
about cartoons every once in a while.
There's nothing wrong with cartoons.
We find that there is a lot of, and part of the reason why we were really happy to join the All Games fam is there's a lot of overlap. People who typically like sci-fi movies also tend to get into, at some point in time, at least a anime series here or there, or some type of series that's actually inspired by the Eastern stuff. So there's a lot of coming together, commingling of
communities. I'm a big Power Rangers fan.
See, I wouldn't have guessed that. What's your favorite Power Ranger? Which color?
Pink Ranger, of course. Mm. Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is creepy that I know her name.
It's very creepy, actually.
Pay attention.
It kind of little worries me a bit. But we're glad to have you on the show. Before we jump into the main reason why we have you here, we do have to do a little bit of business. So you got to keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can look at any articles that we've written within the week. If you have anything to say about those articles, or you have questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. Our show airs on the All Games Radio Network on Monday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern
Time.
Yeah,
we're about 9:30 now.
6:30 p.m. Pacific Time, but you can catch our show and some other great shows like Derek's Dead Pixel Live, as well as Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Ultimate Quest,
Evil Avatar, Bobby Blackwolf Show, even the Friday Night Gaming, which I haven't gotten a chance to take part in that, but I do want to. There's just a lot of great fun entertainment over there. You should check them all out. And while you're there, you know, listen to a couple of episodes of us as well.
I know Blackwolf's like taken over. Two shows now?
Mm-hmm. Busy,
like his one on Sunday wasn't enough?
Busy, busy boy. Mm, yeah. Mm. So with that, let's start asking Derek some questions.
Yeah, I'm all about the questions.
Wait a minute. I believe that I asked the question and I still have not gotten an answer.
I said in the spirit of Valentine's Day that yes,
what does that mean in the spirit? Why are you putting like little like stuff in front of it in the spirit of Valentine's
what?
Day?
It's a good Valentine's Day. It's a happy thing. Yes. Yeah.
Derek, she said she'd be your Valentine. I think you should take the yes as a win.
Stuff, and she's like, well, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, for I'll do it for the country.
I never.
So the terrorists won't win.
She's not saying here that she's going to have to take one for the team. She said yes.
That's what it sounded like.
Be positive. Think positive. Do you know how hard it is? Let me not say that because that would be a bad thing
for
me to say.
Yeah, let's not say that.
Let's not say that and let's move on.
Thank you.
Part of the reason why we invited Derek to be on the show is because you actually released a game on the Xbox community game platform for Xbox Live.
Yes, I did. Called Revenge of the Ball. It is only 200 points available now. Go to your the community games section and download that sucker and play it. It's pretty fun.
I have to say, I was a little skeptical because one, I didn't know that you could code. So when I got your email and you're like, I have a game coming out. I actually thought it was bull. I'm not going to lie. It's like, Derek doesn't have a game coming out. But then I went on and sure enough, you did. I went, oh damn, he does have a game. I should check this out.
If you are around the community as much as I am, you would be in the know.
You know, some of us would like to be in the community, but we have, like, jobs, and we pay bills, and we don't live with our mom.
Okay. Yeah, this is the type of attitude I get.
I mean, if we're going to go there, I mean, we can break it down, sis.
This is reasons why I go on shows like DPL. So
oh, you like it. Anyway, I was really impressed, first of all, because it's loud. I have my surround sound system on, and I really wasn't expecting it to be as loud as it was and thumping. It's a very thumping game, people. I gotta say, whoever did your music, nice job.
Is that DJ, you too?
DJ Ethernet did the music, which is another name for my brother Travis Hopkins. Did
nice,
the music.
Nice. It's give him a fist bump for me because I really liked it, but. It surprised me, and most importantly, it surprised the squirrels outside of my apartment. But, well, why don't you tell people a little bit about the game and what prompted you to make a game for the Xbox platform?
Basically, the game, the easiest way to explain it is Pong with guns, basically. Over the years, the Pong balls have, like balls and games in general, have been beaten up on and eaten and slapped around without any kind of recourse. And they got sick of it, and they decided to shoot back this time. And that's Revenge of the Ball. The player is a paddle. You can go up and down, and that's it. You can't do anything else, just up and down. The balls get all the power here. They get missiles, weapons. They'll turn around and shoot at you. They'll beat up on you. And the game's not easy. Like, I've been getting a lot of messages saying the game's really hard. And yes, it is. It's a really hard game.
I would consider it like a Punisher game. Like,
oh, it's definitely a Punisher. if what was really fun is that first I got the trial, and there are three levels that you can play in the trial. And at first I was like, oh man, he done ripped off Pong. That's not gonna last very long on the community. And you had one ball coming at you, and then as I was playing and bouncing it back, because it took me a little while to realize that I had to bounce it back because I was a little slow, hadn't slept when I played the demo.
Yeah, because Pong is such a complicated control.
Yeah, exactly. But when it started to hover on the right side, and then it stopped and turned around, and it started firing at me, I said, what the shit is this? It has a gun! Nobody said the balls had guns!
Oh, they do now.
And it is. It's very, very complicated because as you progress, there are more balls that enter the level. And so anyone that escapes past you, you basically lose points for. And eventually you fail out of the level.
Oh, wow.
I've got to say, it was really, really entertaining. And I don't want to say that like I'm surprised, Derek, but I'm surprised really by how entertaining and how complex with all of the different types of weapons that you've brought in with the different types of balls, really how complex and difficult it is to keep track as more enemy balls enter the screen. I can't believe I'm actually describing a game this way. That you can't keep up with them.
You can't keep up with balls?
Well, if all the balls come in flying at you, I mean, sometimes you have to take a couple to the chin.
Yes.
When I was building it, it was my first game using XNA, so mm-hmm. I couldn't get really complicated. Plus, I was kind of going for the old school arcade type games, mm-hmm. which I still think are, when I think of video games, those are the games I think about. You go mm-hmm. to arcade, you put a quarter. 5 minutes later, you walk away from the machine crying because yeah. it just beats you down. Mm-hmm. And so when I built the game, I was like, it should be simple, but the farther you get, it's just the gameplay needs to stay the same, but it should get more difficult and kind of it rewards skill. Instead of just being able to hit continue and keep and go all the way to the end of the level or end of the game, the people that get to level 10, they can look around and say, hey, I'm good. I got level 10.
Right.
Or if you get to level 15, I will come over to your house and give you $10 because I don't think that's going to happen. And the game has 32 levels. And I made the game, and I can't get past level 12.
It really doesn't surprise me. Panda, if you have a chance tonight, you really ought to. And anybody listening, really, if nothing else, download the demo. Now, it's not going to break your points piggy bank because it's only 200 points, like Derek said, to download. So it's not the most expensive game out there on the planet.
It's 200 because I only have 330 as a balance right now. So I have just enough to buy this game.
But you really, really ought to try it because I've got to say, it's definitely something that I'm going to be playing in between my, okay, do I really need to start a new campaign on Gears today? No. You know, let me just have fun for a little while. Because I'm a big fan of arcade games as well. It's where I got my start. I spent more money on Double Dragon, really, than I probably ought to own up to in the arcade. So I appreciate a good arcade game. And so I really do appreciate your game. How long did it take you to build?
About 3 months from beginning to end. And about 2 months in, I thought I was completed with it. But because basically, I don't know, 3 months sounds like a long time, but 3 months like isn't really that long for making a game, especially for like a whole new platform and everything for me. But it's really a simple game. It's just Pong and then the ball shoot at you. So it's not as complicated as, say, I don't know, Gears of War 2 is. Mm-hmm. So when I built it and I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm done. I went and played the game. I said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to put it up. And I realized there's a lot of little things that games have that you just never even think about. Those are things that took, I would say, most of my energy. Like stuff like the pause screen. Who even thinks about the pause screen? Or mm-hmm. or what happens when somebody picks up a second controller and starts playing? Or mm-hmm. or what happens if somebody wants to use the left stick instead of the right stick? Little stuff like that. If you only have like 5 high scores and try to scroll, little buggy stuff like that took up most of my time, and I think that's why the game came out so good, because if I do say so myself,
you're allowed to brag in Ashland. Yes. We do it all the time.
Yes,
because like when you start like nitpicking that little stuff, it makes the overall game better. The little things help make the game, I believe.
Now, who did the artwork for the game? As far as I love the title graphic, it's a very angry-looking ball. The title
was done by Ted Bracewell. In chat, in the all games communities, goes by Tedekin. Does a lot of work in the video game community, I guess. And I asked him to do it. I'm fairly good friends with Tedekin, and I said, Tedekin, can I? Because before I just had pictures of two balls on the screen and the words "Revenge of the Ball." So that Tedekin, can you do a title screen for me real quick? And all I expected him to do was a ball with a smiley face on it, and that's it.
That I would have been happy. Because like a little cartoon mm-hmm. smiley face on a ball and the words revenge, I would have been happy. And he gave me that, and when you guys see the title screen, think how I felt when I saw the title screen, and I was like, oh my god, I have to redo all the graphics in my game to try to live up to this now.
Ted kind of does things to the max.
I went and got all new backgrounds for everything. I redid the. I was like, oh, I cannot. I had to put smoke trails on the back of the on the back of the missiles. I was like, I wasn't going to do any of that stuff, but now I have to live up to this goofy title screen this guy did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great title screen though.
So my question to you, Derek, is now that you've done a game and seen how long it's taken you to really get it finished to where you were happy with it and released on XNA, what do you take away from XNA as being value added to the Xbox Live experience?
Oh, it's great that, let's see, how can I say this? I will say it a nice way. It's great that people who say instead of just looking at a game and saying, wow, I can do better, now some people can actually say, okay, I'm going to actually go and try to do better, and then put it out there for people to see and actually maybe get paid for it. It's been like a lot of times with fanboys
mm-hmm.
on both sides, they're like, well, this game sucks because blah, blah, blah. How come they didn't do this? How come they didn't do this? Well, now you can see why, because it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard just to make a game fun. You can just putting something on the screen isn't that hard, but to make a game fun is a whole different level. And hopefully XNA community games will see a lot of new people creating new types of games and just going back and creating some of the old style games that aren't being made by the big companies anymore. If you like a certain type of game and they're not making that type of game anymore, now you can go and maybe find that game on Xbox Community Games.
I think that really speaks a lot to just how gaming has kind of evolved especially with the consoles that are out right now, over the last couple of years. I mean, there's really not that same, as far as I'm concerned, type of ability to create a community game on any of the other platforms. You're pretty much just dialed into the content that they want to make available, either DLC or a retro game that they're rehashing and reselling to you, but not necessarily the one that you're looking for. I mean, we've all in the community been complaining, or at least I know a bunch of us over here have, that why Duck Hunt hasn't become available.
I know!
I would fucking love to just play Duck Hunt, and I don't care on anybody that doesn't like that game. I played it with my dad all the time when I was a kid. It was one of the few games that I could play, and he kicked my ass every single time, and I would love to play it again. And it doesn't exist. I mean, there was a clone of the game that was on the iTunes store for, about a week until Nintendo heard about it. And then it got ganked, and it worked really well, too. Yeah. And yet it got ganked. So I think that there's a big need for this particular type of game. I don't know if user-submitted content is going to be something that's going to drive the consoles moving forward, but just taking a look at how DLC is growing and now things like XNA, I think it's kind of trending that way, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I don't see it. I don't see it being like a reason anybody's going to pick the 360 over the mm-hmm. Wii or the, well, of course over the Wii, but
over the Wii, that's very easy.
Over the PS3 or anything, but it is a good for programmers. It's really great for people that want to get into the industry. Finally, you're able to actually do something that you can show to a company, say, hey, this is what I want to do and this is what I've done, instead of going to spending $5,000 to go to a school and maybe you learn how to make a game. Now you can actually just make a game, and everything is free. Microsoft isn't charging anybody a dime to make a game on their system that actually plays on the Xbox, so there's no real reason not to if you're interested in it. There's nothing stopping you from trying it. I wish the same could be said for WiiWare, because WiiWare is kind of like Xbox community games, mm-hmm. except for the fact you have to pay $2,000 to do it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Not fun. So, Derek, is this making games, is this something that you want to do professionally in your life, or is it just one of those dreams that finally came to fruition for you?
I did at one point. I was
that's why I learned programming. And then, like, I've been programming for I don't know how long. It's like a crazy long time. But then every time I wanted to do it for a system, like a console, there was always a big hurdle to get into it. Like for the PS1, they had something called Yaruz, which was $700 plus a waiting list, which...
$7 for a wait list, I'll pass.
Bones and now wait.
Yeah, so I was like, that's not going to happen.
Fuck that.
And then my brother, who makes me feel bad by doing all the stuff that I say I'm going to do. Yeah, he actually worked for EA and Apple making games, and he left Apple to start his own video game company. And I was like, what the hell?
Is he a younger brother or an older brother?
Younger brother, which makes it even worse.
Tell me about it.
Lord. So I was like, if he can do it, the hell if I'm not going to do it. And so he put – the funny thing is I said, Travis, there's this great thing on Xbox Community Games where you can make a game. He's like, I don't know. I'm working on my iTunes game. I'm not sure if I have time. And then like 3 days later, he's like, yeah, over the weekend I decided to make one. And I popped it up there real quick. And it's up there, Graph Spacer. I was like, God damn it. That is son of a bitch 3 days to make a – he's good. But that made me – so that was the driving reason of me starting to make Revenge of the Ball. I thought I was like,
wow,
damn it. Sibling rivalry. If you need to get something done, get a sibling to do it first, and trust me, you'll get it done.
Yeah. I think that we can definitely say that that is a very good motivator for things. Oh.
I was just on the phone with him last night, and I was like, yeah, I'm working on my next game. And I was talking to him about like all the troubles I'm having like with it and everything. And he was like, wow, that's a good idea. Do you mind if I whip together my own quick version and put? I was like, you better not make a quick version, because he was gonna do it over the weekend again. I was like, you better not.
Ah, power to the younger siblings. Right on.
Yeah, or something like that. Anyway.
What about your new game? That is really cool, but apparently you both have the talent to do this type of work, so kudos to both of you.
Plus, I can still beat him.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, Ninja would know about that.
You're damn right. Sometimes you got to put a sibling in check. Derek, I know I don't have to tell you about that. Sometimes you got to let somebody know their place.
Exactly.
Because sometimes they overstep their bounds.
Yeah. Are you looking at me when you say that?
I'm just saying things.
I feel
in
some
general.
Arrows.
I'm not shooting any arrows. There are no arrows. We're on the internet. It's all safe. Well, not all of it's safe on the internet. So tell us a little bit about your new game before we get into the rest of the stuff that we have to talk about.
I haven't announced anything about a new game. I haven't even. I'm not even going to tell anybody the title of my new game, which is going to be called "You Will Die."
Okay.
We don't know that.
It's a really, really evil game. I'm just thinking about it, gives me the shivers because it's just mean. Everything is going to be stacked against the player because in the olden days, that's what video game. You know now how when you play Halo or something and you get shield back and you get all these great weapons and you're fighting little midgets and there's nothing they can do about it. In the olden days, it was like you versus like the galaxy. You know, it was like one guy with one little gun and everything's coming at you. And I like to go back to that type of thing, which is what the next game's going to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Kind of can't wait to see how that's going to turn out.
And hopefully it's going to be everything. It's going to be a lot better than Revenge of the Ball. Revenge of the Ball is good. I think my next one's going to be look better, sound better, and play better.
Well, cool. Well, hopefully when you release it, you'll come back and talk to us about it, and we'll both have played it.
See, there are those arrows again.
I'm just saying.
Some people
choose to do their homework and...
Yeah, and get degrees.
Touche.
It's all about priorities.
That's right. That is right.
We haven't got it yet.
I don't think this relationship is going to work, Panda. I'm not feeling the support that I think I need.
Derek, I'm trying. It's hard. It's a balancing game, and some days you're going to get more, and some days you're going to get less.
That's okay. I don't feel nothing. That's okay.
If you two need a moment, you know, you can go over there, and I'll mute your mics, and you know, when you work things out, you can come back.
No, I think we're cool.
Okay, cool. Well, since
how could she be the one that says I think we're cool when she's the one that slighted me? I'm the victim here. But she's like, no, he's okay. Let's move on.
Well, I mean, she is my sister. I mean, if I got to pick between the two of you, guess who's got who I've got. Yeah. That's how we roll.
So,
speaking of us rolling, we're going to E3.
Yes, we are.
Hot damn.
It's pretty awesome.
How about you, Derek?
Very excited.
I am planning on going on E3 now. I've decided I'm almost 100% that I'm going to be driving there.
Really?
Yeah, road trip.
Nice.
Road trip.
Nice.
This will be my third E3 road trip.
Oh, wow. So you've done this. See, I don't know. How long of a trip did it take you, like, the last time you drove?
Well, like, the last time we got back in 36 hours. Getting there took about 4 days, but only because we said, hey, look, there was a road that said Las Vegas this way. Mm. And so we said, we'll just drive through to look at all the lights and then just keep going. And then we said, oh, we'll just stop and walk around for a couple minutes. So, oh, no, we'll just go and gamble a couple of dollars and then come back. 3 days later, we get to Los Angeles
with no money left. Yeah. Vegas is definitely a temptress, and you have to be very weary of it. I like to only do like an hour layover in Vegas if I have to, because that really keeps me at the airport and forces me not to venture away from it.
Yeah.
And that's really worked out better for me over the years than not.
Ninja, guess what?
What?
Yes, Ash Mom is planning to... She was, because when I told her that we got our bid for E3, and she's like, are you going to go? And I'm like, of course I'm going to go.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, it's definite, so we can start planning that, because I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so that's in Vegas, right? And I said, no, that's CES. And she goes, so you're going to be in, I'm like, we're going to be in LA. And she's like, well, you know, you could go and do E3, and then hop on a flight and come to Vegas. And we'll stay the rest of the, like, you know, we'll both leave at the same time. And then I would take a plane
in
Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Spend, like, another 4 days in Vegas and then go home. Like, Ash Mom has been looking at flights.
She's plotting, basically.
She's plotting. Yeah. To go to Vegas while we're doing E3.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. We weren't really planning on much of an inheritance anyway. So, I mean,
definitely not now.
Definitely not now.
To make a burger, not now.
Because as you haven't met our mom, Derek, I can share this with you. Because you're almost like family. You're all games family. She kind of has a gambling problem.
Really?
Yeah.
It's only a problem if you lose.
She loses.
She loses.
Yeah. We win.
Hey, let's not even say we. I won the most money.
Well, yeah, you won the most money, but I didn't do too shabby either.
You didn't.
We went on this trip to Vegas with Esh Mom, and she was pretty much doling out some cash so we could play some slots while she was doing some slots and some tables. And while she lost about 900 bucks, Panda over there hits on one machine for 800, 850.
Yeah,
I
was like
hit on a machine for 400, and Hot Mess hits on a machine for 350. Because Esh Mom doesn't know when to walk away.
Hey.
She just keeps forking over money. And then we keep going, you know, this one still has to finish college. Yeah, it's
almost done. Make it sound like I'm a freshman and I've got 3 years. I'm almost done.
We should probably keep Esh Mom out of Vegas.
Yeah.
But we're totally going to LA. Yeah. So I hope that you enjoy your road trip, and we're looking forward to seeing you. Do you know if anybody else from the All Games fam yet has committed to going to E3 yet?
I'm trying to get Loserly to come. That we're still in negotiations.
Good. If you need any help there, we can twist.
I want to hang out with Loserly.
Yeah, tell him that Panda's going for sure.
Yeah, I'm def going.
And I'm not sure. I still need to get our credentials together to send to E3. So they'll believe that we're a real entity.
Aw, so that they'll know that you're a real boy?
Yeah, because they're like, we need to have all this. Like, in the olden days, in the good old days, all you needed to do was forge a couple of documents, send them to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure, come. Here's your badge. And now they want, like, official stuff from the government. What?
Yeah.
writing stuff, typing stuff up and photocopying it a couple of times and mailing it to you. That's what I should be able to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, a bunch of people dropped out of the ESA, so dues are down. So now they actually have to prove that
they're
all
legit.
The people that show up should have to sit there and wait to talk to, well, your ass and our asses and whatnot.
And just asses.
In general.
Yeah, because if I don't get in for free, I don't get in. I'm going to have to sneak in. I'm not paying to get into E3. It's crazy. Crazy talk.
It's crazy to pay to get into any trade shows. But trade shows are all on their last legs across the board. But that's another show.
Yeah,
we got to talk about some more video game stuff and some anime stuff.
Oh.
What do you have for the people, Panda?
All right, well, for Panda's Game of the Week, the flavor this week for me has been Left 4 Dead.
That's a good flavor.
Yes, flavor. Props go to Alphabox for this one because he'd been bugging the fuck out of me to get this game. And pretty much every day, did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? Are we going to play yet? Are we going to play yet? And finally he's like, I feel bad that I'm bothering you, but can we play now? And then finally when I did buy it, I didn't play it for a week because I'll let everybody know that, you know, I'm not really good at first-person shooters, and also I don't do well with very scary things. So I bought it knowing it was going to be a zombie shoot-em-in-the-face game. And I was like, oh, I'll wake up at like 6 in the morning. I'll play it. Get some fundamentals down so that I don't look like a total ass. Mm-hmm. But of course, that never happened because it had zombies in it. And I didn't touch it. And then finally, someone from the community, Binary667, who is pretty much, I think he's like an archive listener. He was nice enough to be like, hey, I've got it. I'll play with you, and you can see that's really not that bad. And he helped me play through it, and then I played with Alpha, and now every chance I get, when I'm on my Xbox, I'm most likely playing Left 4 Dead. So thank you kindly, AlphaBox, for putting this game into my face to the point where I love it now. If you haven't played this game, you need to. Granted, you know, there isn't too much going on. There's only 4 playable campaigns right now on the disc. If you like headshotting, if you like explosions, and if you have a sick fetish about being vomited on, and you like decaying body limbs everywhere, then this is totally the game for you. Like, oh my gosh. I haven't played the multiplayer of this game yet, where apparently you have 4 people who play as the survivors, because obviously Left 4 Dead, 4 is a number, there are 4 people. Very crafty on that, guys.
Yeah.
But on the other side of a multiplayer campaign is you have 4 people who can be zombies. And you get to be, I think you can either be like a regular infected zombie or one of the specialized. Granted, you don't get to choose right now.
Oh, I want to be a special zombie.
I'd want to be a smoker, to be honest. I know you haven't played Ninja.
No.
But smokers have this really long tongue. And if you stay further behind than everybody else in your party, if one happens to be coming up on you, it grabs you with its tongue and it drags you and it mauls you. And if no one saves you, you die.
Okay. All right.
Smokers are kind of cool. Boomers are really fat and they throw up on you and their vomit attracts other zombies. And then there are hunters that, like, you know, kind of look like ninjas and they jump on you. Witchers are kind of cool, but they're kind of ugly. I would prefer to be a smoker. Okay. But I am looking forward to playing multiplayer and playing the infected instead of being just the survivors. And that's just for my game of the week. That's my flavor of the week. Might be for more than 1 week, actually. It's probably been like 2 now, but whatever. Animes to mention. I really haven't watched anything overly new, but we brought this anime back in the group that I run on campus, and it's worth, you know, bringing up because I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show. And it, you know, being what, two years ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. I'm surprised that I haven't brought it up. And it's an anime called Monster. And it's one of the more realistic animes. You know, you don't have any wild hair colors. It actually has some historical reference in there. So if you like your stories to have some content that's truthful and fictional or non-fictional, mm-hmm. that's right. And,
there you go.
Non-fictional.
You're getting a degree.
Yeah, you would never know. And the story is basically about this doctor who he's a pretty good surgeon, but he's not really high up in the ranks. And he works at this very prestigious hospital, but the thing is, the hospital wants money, so they tend to only treat, you know, politicians and people of influence who will then give money back to them.
Uh-huh.
known. He's kind of that whole self-righteous, we're doctors, we're supposed to save every man. We're not supposed to put, you know, the elite above the everyday man. And, you know, his you know, doctor boss is like, fuck you and do the surgeries. And, you know, the basic kind of struggle that you would find in someone who's self-righteous and virtuous and all that stuff. And one night, a couple of twins get rushed in. The girl of the twins sets fine, but the boy has a shotgun wound to the head.
Ouch. So,
yeah.
That's going to leave a mark.
It was pretty bad. I'm surprised he was still alive, you know, but the boy comes in and the doctor's like, I'll work on this boy. But right as he decides he's going to do that, a politician comes in, you know, and the head doctor's like, you need to work on the politician. And the doctor's like, no, I'm going to work on this child. And he works on the child and he saves the child's life, but the politician dies. And then the head doctor's like, you were like scum. Don't talk to us. You know, you lost us so much money. You know, that kind of stuff. And yeah. And you kind of feel bad for him because, you know, he did the right thing. But sometimes the right thing isn't actually the right thing. Because there's a time shift in this anime. And mysteriously, right after this boy recovers, the two twins go missing. And all the doctors who were going to get promoted before Dr. Tenma mysteriously die. And by mysteriously, I mean the boy did it.
Okay. And
yeah. So okay. We're dealing with a serial killer who's like 9 years old.
Yay! I knew there'd be a moral to this story.
Yeah, there is. Because then the time shift happens and like 10 years go by. And, you know, Tenma is now the head doctor at this hospital. They no longer just treat, you know, the elite. They treat everybody. And everything seems to be going well. Except all of a sudden these massacres of couples are happening. And they all have a tie back to the twins. And you actually kind of find out that the twin or the boy of the twin set is killing these people. And, you know, he comes across a doctor and pretty much tells him that he would never kill the doctor because the doctor saved his life.
But pretty much everybody else is fucked.
Yeah, essentially. Okay. Right. So the doctor who was like, oh my God, I thought I did this great thing for this young boy. His life was so ahead of him and now he is taking life and I can't let him do that. So the doctor begins to train to become an assassin to kill this young man.
Oh, there you go. Because that happens all the time in real life.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And he spends all of his doctor money on assassin lessons, which apparently you can afford to buy.
That's great because I would really like to get some assassin lessons. Lessons.
You're a freaking ninja. You don't.
I know, but you know, you always got to hone your skills, and there's no better place to get some new skills than assassin class.
Well, anyway, so he gets the assassin classes, and you know, he pretty much goes after this twin whose name is Johan because this had to happen in Germany. You know, let's go kill some Germans.
Oh, anime, why do you always dog on the Germans?
Well, yeah,
they partnered like with them during the war.
I think we've done enough to the Germans, but apparently not because we're making anime where we slaughter them in the thousands. But, I mean, this anime is kind of old. Well, not by old, relatively old in the sense that it's been around for about 3 or 4 years now, so it's not fresh off the palette. It's not prefab. There's a lot of political angst going on. There's a lot of moral dilemma, which makes it feel more realistic.
And there's assassin classes.
And you can sign up for assassin classes on Monday.
All right.
And I really liked it. I mean, it's very refreshing from all the bubblegum pop, happy girl power stuff that I usually talk about on the show. So for those of you guys who are looking for more serious anime that might actually make you think instead of kind of tilt your head to the side and drool because you're losing brain cells, then you might want to check out Monster.
I don't know of many anime series that actually you could say help you exercise and or gain brain cells.
So. Gantz
does not in any way, shape, or form enhance your brain.
No lie. After I watched Gantz, like I watched the whole thing through, outside of the fact of, yeah, the dog pretty much eats out the girl in every episode, or at least every episode.
Yes.
You know, you can look past the superficial sexual stuff.
Really? So you can look past the dude banging the chick while they're sitting down in the hallway while everyone's having the conversation about them dying?
No, not everything has to be about sex.
How do you spell this again? G-A-S-P?
G-A-N-T-Z.
Gantz. There's a big political message. And honestly, if you read the manga, there's a lot more going on than that.
Manga is always better than anime. We've had that conversation. We're talking about anime right now.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the anime.
And the anime does not increase your brain functions. It makes you say, what the fuck, and why is that dog eating that chick, and why does nobody stop the dog?
Well, there's always a peanut butter thing going on.
There was no peanut butter. Oh, there's no peanut butter.
That's just snatch. Not really. No.
It's realistic if there's no peanut butter. I mean, how can you? Please.
Well, I know. But
this is what I am saying. This anime does not increase your brain
I'm
function.
Talking about outside of the fact that the dog did that, and there was a
lot outside. Well, you have to put any kind of disclaimer or exclusions on things, it's not really the one you should use to kind of base your argument on.
Well, I'm just saying that at the end of watching Gantz, which, yes, I know there's a lot of exceptions to the rule here, but when the main character of Gantz goes after Gantz, you know, which is this giant, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Derek, or heard references of it, but there's a giant black ball in this room, and it pretty much tells the people who are trapped in the room to go kill a certain alien within a certain amount of time, or they can't go back to the Earth, which is kind of stupid. But this one guy pretty much makes it to the end of the game, and then he goes to turn on Gantz, which is the ball, and the ball sends aliens to kill him. So it's kind of like being led by this mysterious force. And as soon as I saw that reference, I was like, oh my god, the country has been listening to a Gantz. We've been listening to Bush, and he's been telling us all these bad things.
Hey, we're not a political thing here.
Sorry, I'm just saying, I had a political epiphany after I watched Gantz. So it can happen.
Yeah, but you have to preference all of that with first in order to get these people to participate in the game and go kill everybody. They first have to die.
Yeah. That could be symbolic.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a doppelganger movie.
Yeah.
Series. With a whole lot of weird sex stuff. Well, not a whole lot, but just about every episode. There's at least two instances.
There's at least three episodes in that series that did not have sex in them.
But just about in every episode, the dog did get a little extra randy.
Yeah.
And then the fantasy episodes.
Okay.
On top of the actual sex episode.
Of the S&M, like, fantasies that Kay was having about the girl whose name was Kay. I get it. It is kind of gross.
Thank you.
Let's drop it. Anyway, it can happen. That's my point. There's no odd sex stuff going on in Monsters, so if that's icky to you, then you don't have to worry about it. Overall, it is an interesting anime, and I think you would enjoy it. And now I'm done.
Okay. Well, good.
So now we can go back to whatever it is that you were going to talk about, Ninja, though I think we should have Derek say something. I feel bad that we're, like, walking all over him.
Well, I'm just a guest here. This is your show.
Yes, but you're allowed to talk. If we didn't want you to talk, we wouldn't have invited you to the show.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, you guys were busy talking about dogs eating out young women and giant black balls and some. I think we were talking about cross between Dexter and ER before.
Essentially.
Yeah, with just a tiny little bit of House thrown in there. I'm guessing.
I love House. Let's not even go there.
All right. So moving on. I just have a couple of things that I want to talk about. One of them is the Ghostbusters game. I've been excited about the Ghostbusters game when they first announced it, and then watching the teasers and seeing all of the development happening, getting almost all of the original cast members to do the voices for their characters of the game made me ridiculously excited. And
they got Bill Murray, too?
Yeah. The likenesses look great. The gameplay looks great. Every single video and every piece of gameplay that I've seen, it just looks solid. I love action games and I love brawlers. They're pretty much what I cut my teeth on in gaming and will be always the things that I buy and keep in my libraries constantly. It's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to Street Fighter 4. I can't wait for that. I'm not really looking forward to the movie. But with Ghostbusters, they just released another trailer where they were showing off the traps and how you actually capture and guide ghosts down into the actual traps. And the voiceovers sound great. The timing looks really good. And for even another teaser trailer, I was really kind of like ready to whip my wallet out, which really only has like a few dollars in it, and just say, please, Atari, here's my money. Can I please have this now? And do the whole eyelash thing and see if that worked, because I'm not above doing that.
At your lashes?
My eyelashes, you know, just that flutter thing. I will use my feminine wiles when I have to.
And when you don't, I use them all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So we pretty much covered. And that's why we roll really well as a group. But I'm curious to see what you guys think about the Ghostbusters game and how interested you are in it.
I like the original Commodore 64 version.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I like that one. Mm-hmm. That was good. I remember buying my car and driving and putting a vacuum on top of the car and sucking up the ghost and then getting beside the two big buildings and then Slimer was in the middle and positioning each one with each Ghostbuster with my joystick and hitting the big red button and then the streams would come out and then the trap would open up and the ghost would go down and then there would be, which was incredible at the time, actual voice would say, Ghostbusters. And I was like, oh my God, this sucker talks. This is the greatest game ever made. Ghostbuster. It was, you would not believe how I was like, there would never be a game better than this. And to this day, I still think there's no game better than the original Ghostbusters.
I never got to play that one because we didn't have a Commodore 64. But we had a cousin that had it, and he always talked about it, and I never really believed much of what he had to say. But I'm excited about this one.
I will only accept this as a real Ghostbusters game is if once you capture a ghost, it actually says Ghostbusters. Then I will say this is a good. If it doesn't do that,
like the really huge logo, like that shoots on the screen, and then you know it's really small, like the pan up of the. That'd be kind of cool too.
If that's not there, I'm taking it right back to GameSpot, the GameStop.
I won't argue with you, because that would be kind of pimp. Not going to lie. So that's one thing that I'm looking forward to, but another one that I'm kind of interested in, and I just noticed it really, and it could be that I'm slow to the game. I have been a few times, but I was looking at some of the stuff for Tekken 6, because again, with the fighters, I'm really looking forward to comparing the Street Fighter 4 game to Tekken 6. I was noticing that it's going to be on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Cross consoles.
That really surprised me.
Why?
Yeah, they sold like, what, 14 PS3s in the last couple of weeks?
That's pretty much what I was basing it on. But I never really thought that Tekken would be one of those things that would make the jump and be cross console. It's always, always been Sony's. And there are just some games that, you know, will always kind of belong and will stay on a platform no matter what. I mean,
like Zelda.
And you know, Mario. I mean, those signature characters, those signature games. And I always saw Tekken as being one of those signature games for Sony that was just going to always be on that console. And I just thought it kind of flew under the radar a little bit that with the last group of trailers that they sent out, that they're all sporting the nice Xbox 360 and Xbox Live logos much more prominently than the PS3 ones.
Well,
I've been actually playing my PS3 a little bit more lately, but the more I play it, the more I realize I just like the 360 better. 360 just, I don't know what it is about something about playing online on 360. Especially for a fighting game like Tekken, I would rather play Tekken on a 360 than I would on a PS3. Even if it's probably going to look a lot better on the PS3, I think it's going to be a better online game on the 360.
And I think that's really where Microsoft has kind of trounced Sony, is that online experience is just so night and day difference. Because I agree, multiplayer online is better and more enjoyable on the Xbox 360. And when I started this thing, I was a huge, huge Sony fan. You couldn't tell me anything other than PlayStation 2, what, bitch? What, really? And, you know, now I'm here at a point a couple of years later after that, and if I'm going to game, the first system that I turn on is my Xbox 360. I don't think I've touched my PlayStation 3 since the original home beta came out.
Well, then can I have it?
No, you can't have it. I bought you an Xbox and a hard drive.
I know.
And a guitar. And I let you borrow my God of War 2. What more do you... Gears, what more do you want from me?
Well, if you're not using your PS3, I'll take it.
Well, I didn't say I was going to give it away. I'm just saying I haven't touched it.
Right. Shouldn't somebody get slapped for a PlayStation Home? That's all.
Here's the thing about Home. This is my whole thing. It really could have been if they put effort into it. It could have been a fun environment. Really, it could have been. I mean, because the new Xbox experience, don't get me wrong, I think the avatars are a little neat looking, but they're only slightly a little bit more animated and upgraded from the Miis on the Wii system, and you know that's not really what I jump on consoles to do anyway. But I was really interested when they were talking about Home on that interaction that you could have with a group of gamers. But when you get onto Home, all it really is a bunch of hormonal teenagers across the country trying desperately to figure out ways to make their character sort of kind of look like they're humping you.
Oh.
And that gets old really quick.
See, I do a thing on avatars because I don't really
want to make them
really
look like No, I think that Home was a big possibility and a huge misstep. And I don't think that you recover from that. You know, with all the hype that they built up about Home and how it was going to be a great online experience and trophies and that they were going to have, you know, their version of achievements and people could come over and see your achievements and it would be this great big community area. They released the beta and they haven't done anything with it other than try to make money off of it.
I was a big I was ready for home to be like huge because all the stuff they say you can do. And so I went and they have these things in there called clubs. So I was like, oh, I'll make a club for my show, Dead Pixel Live. Mm-hmm. So I made a Dead Pixel Live club and I was like, everybody will be able to come in and join the club and come to the cool clubhouse. And there was a big video screen on the wall. I was like, wow, so I'll be able to play clips from the show and everything. You'll be able to come and listen to this instead of going to it'll be incredible. Mm-hmm. And instead, the big TV on the wall does nothing. All you can do is put a couple of couches in the big empty room and put three messages on the wall, which can only be like four lines long. And then they charge you $5 a month.
Sounds like an ultra lounge to me without the
book. Without anything fun.
Yeah, with no music, no nothing. It's like I can put a table and some couches down.
But you have the privilege of doing that for $5 a month, Derek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, Sony.
Yay, Sony.
And you can see that they could do so much with that. It really is like a really open thing where they have the power to do a lot of stuff there. And instead, they're like, you know what? Here, give us a dollar for this rubber ducky instead.
So that you can show people your rubber ducky and then do the gesture air hump and, you know, dance with them. Yay. And then also ask for their digits. Yeah, it's really disappointing to me because I was really hoping that it was going to be more like a Sims-like game where I could create an environment where people could come over and I could use it as basically a way to chat with some of my friends that are across the country that don't have Xbox Live. And it would just be a neat little way to share that experience. And it's not easy to set up to do that kind of thing. It's not intuitive. And it's a shame because I really wanted the PS3 to be successful because the more success they have as a platform, the more that developers will want to put in the time and effort to develop for the platform because even the higher-ups of Sony have finally admitted that it's not easy to develop for their platform. And so that's why you've got more developers that are scaling back and are either not releasing things on the PS3 or just releasing more on the Xbox 360 now if that's outside of their typical venue. And if you're going to come out and say that you know that your stuff is hard to develop for, then you need to do one of two things if you're going to be successful as a business. You either need to work and make your architecture easier to develop for, or you need to create some kind of incentive to make developers want to put in that extra time, effort, and money to put out product on your platform. And in this industry, money talks. And the easiest way to make money is off of community. I mean, if you think about over the last year how much money you spent on Microsoft points and Wii points to buy stuff on WiiWare, when you put a dollar amount on that, at least my number is pretty bad when
Mine's
I think
not.
About it. Yeah, because you don't have a job. I mean, you can only get points
at
any time.
People have sent me the cards with Xbox points on them. I have friends.
Somebody put down money for that. So when you think about the dollars that went to that for downloadable content, additional costumes, you know, an additional map pack here or there, the Fable stuff for the Knothole Island, when you start adding all that up, you're making more money than just the price of the original game. That's always going to be a steady stream of
That's
revenue.
A continuous loop of money.
And so to not invest the time and effort into the piece of community that you're trying to bring onto your system, I just think it's short-sighted on Sony's part.
And to go back to the ease of development thing, if the Xbox 360 is so easy to develop for that Microsoft was able to release XNA, put it up for free, and say, hey, everybody come make games for it. And it really is, if you're a programmer, it's easy to put games on the Xbox, be it the community game or Xbox Live Arcade or a full-blown game. And the next generation of developers are going to be like, well, I've been programming on this Xbox for so long. And then you move over to the PS3. They're like, I think I'll just stick with the Xbox instead, with the Xbox 720 or whatever. Because Microsoft is trying to make it as easy as possible to make games on their system, and Sony's going the opposite direction.
And I think that that's been Sony's downfall all across the board, is this idea that they can force people through sheer saying over and over again the mantra of our stuff is better, our stuff is better, that people will believe it. Well, Beta was better than VHS, but VSH was cheaper, and that's why all the porn went on it, and that's why VHS killed Beta.
There's porn on VHS? What?
Yeah, there's a lot of porn on VHS. And, but more importantly, there's more on DVD now because we're stepping up. You know,
if we're going that route.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. Oh, please. Anyway, I think it's a huge misstep. And I think that right now, especially over the course of the next year in the industry, it'll be an interesting thing to watch and see how much of community games, community content, community interaction is really going to prove and make and break success on the platforms.
I don't know if that will work. I mean, we've lost a lot of influence in the community because of the mega burger, the economy. I mean, a lot of people are pulling out of that because they're trying to save up money. So I'm a little worried that some of the gamer morale is going to take a shot to the pills. I'm a little concerned.
Well, I think that it's going to have to. I mean, you know, I was really sad to hear about all the layoffs that have been happening across the board, not just at the GameScore blog, but at EA. And I always am saddened to hear that people lost their jobs because that's somebody's mom, brother, sister, cousin, whatever. They got rent. They got dogs and kids and shit like that to feed. That's never a good thing to hear. But the industry as a whole is not just going to curl up and die. It's going to keep rolling. It's going to keep trying to grow. And it's going to keep trying to grow revenue. What I'm afraid of is that because they'll cite scale back, that some of your more independent things, some of the things that are more on the fringe or outside of the box, won't get funded now and won't get their shot unless they can go to something like an XNA or Community Games, because they won't be able to get funding from a big house because they're only going to invest in franchises. That's when things get stale, when things get old, and when that happens, nobody wins.
Well, didn't Activision and Electronic Arts basically come out and say, hey, from now on, we're just doing stuff that we know that's going to sell, so expect a lot of sequels and franchise games and licensed stuff coming from us?
Mm-hmm. It's the start of it.
Type of do.
And that's scary. I mean, don't get me wrong. Franchises, for the most part, they become franchises because they're good. But if you get complacent in that, that's when they start to suck. And they die. And it hurts the industry as a whole.
Need for Speed.
Thank you. I agree. So you got to keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you like those articles and you want to say something about those, or you just have questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you should check us out there because we happen to be there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are part of the All Games Network.
You can find our show airing on the All Games Radio Network Monday nights at 9:30, 6:30 Pacific time. You can catch us there as well as some other great shows like Super Happy Fun Time Show, Derek Show, Dead Pixel Live, Ultimate Quest, Evil Avatar, Bobby Black Wolf Show. There's a lot of great fun entertainment. So as long as you're needing something fun to do, you should definitely check out allgames.com and listen to some of the shows on the All Games Radio Network.
Hear, hear.
So, Derek, I want to thank you for being on the show.
No, thank you for having me on the show.
We will love to have you back another time.
Yes, please do.
And I will do my best to try and float onto your show. Unfortunately, the one day during the week that I have off, you're not on. But there's always sick days.
Yeah, we're coming up on our 200th episode next Wednesday, I believe, is going to be show number 200 for Dead Pixel Live.
Well, congratulations.
Yay.
Me and Luzuli and AlphaBox worked real hard to try to make it a decent show. And we've succeeded because it's a decent show. Go figure.
A little bit of elbow grease, a little bit of bandwidth, and bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure. 2 hours a day of nothing but a video game and, oh, well, there's a little bit of video game talk and a little bit of everything else. It's fun.
It's a melting pot.
It is.
A potluck.
Ninja, you'll feel like home when you go there. Trust me, I would know. I've been there.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. I'm working on it, so.
I know.
If I can swing it, I'd love to pop in on 200, and if not, I'll definitely make it at some point in time.
I'll make an adios motherfucker just for you.
Oh, thank you. Those things are
see,
delicious.
You get the special treatment. You see that?
Well, all you had to do was come out. I offered to give you a ticket. Anywho. I guess we're going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it seems kind of toasty to me.
So, Derek, since you're our guest, what would you like to do with your toast?
Butter it up and slap it on. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Panda, same question.
I got yelled at early this week for comments like that, so I have to stop myself now.
Panda, your answer, please.
I am I'm going to toast it up, put some butter on it, and put it on a Caesar salad as croutons, because I have a salad downstairs that I'm actually dying to eat.
Fantastic. I'm actually going to use mine. I'm going to make a peanut butter sandwich with it.
Be careful. What kind of peanut butter?
Not
Peter Pan, because it got recalled for Selma.
Oh, I don't eat no Peter Pan. Come on, I grew up on the East Coast. Skippy motherfucker. Let's not get it twisted.
I scared Ash mom because she had some. I'm like, Mom, you should be recalling your peanut butter. And I'm like, it's got salmonella in it. And she dropped it. And I said,
You are mean.
Look at you guys all high class and whatnot with the name brand peanut butter. Our peanut butter was so bad we had to heat it up for like 10 minutes before we can even spread it.
Was it like in a block?
Yeah, it was really hard. You had to put it in the oven for a little while, and then you popped it out, and then you were able to scoop it out.
Wow.
Okay.
That and government cheese.
Hey, government cheese is a shit because it lasts forever, and you can do a lot with government cheese.
Ain't no joke. I did not know macaroni and cheese did not come the way my mom made it with the government. I was like, what is this crap you guys are giving? This isn't macaroni and cheese. Where's the big blocks of cheese floating around in it? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Wow.
Government cheese is great.
How come
it's not crunchy? It's supposed to be crunchy.
As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Derek H.
And we're out.
Peace, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.